Thanks, Susan. Hey, today is an exciting Sunday for a number of reasons. One, it's nice and warm, and you're not being blinded by the solar shade. The main reason I'm excited is this giant thing in front of you. If you don't know what it is, this is a baptismal. If you don't know what that means, don't worry, I'll explain it. All right, but this is full of water, and today is a big day because we're going to baptize my oldest son, Hero. So I'm excited to be here and celebrate with you guys. And I want to share some stories, and then you guys in first service, I want to invite you back to second service at the end of second service or when the baptism is going to take place. I want to invite you to come and be a part of that. But if you're not able to do that, we have made some testimony videos, so you're going to get to see some of the stories of those that are being baptized at the end of our time here today. So just want to let you know about that. We are talking about baptism this morning, and if you missed last week, I talked about what baptism is and why we do it as a church and our participation in that. And so if you missed that, I encourage you to go online and check that out. Next week, we have Joel King, who is one of Joel and Lorena King, our missionaries in Africa. And they were alumni of Adventure that God called to Africa and sent them off. And so they've been there doing some really exciting stuff, and they're back in the States, and we get to hear from them next week. So I encourage you, don't miss next week. It's going to be incredible. They always have amazing stories to share, and it's fun to see them and be a part of what God is doing in Africa, and we're involved in that process. So I want to encourage you to be a part of that. And then after that, we're going to continue our summer kind of mini-series by taking a look at communion. What's communion? Why do we do it? And what does the Bible say about it? So I want to share a little bit this morning just about my personal story of baptism. I grew up in a Christian home. Both my parents accepted Christ long before I was born. And so kind of church was a regular part of my life, and them talking about faith was a regular part of my life. My parents gave to the church faithfully. We attended regularly. They served willingly. And that was just kind of a part of growing up. I remember my parents got a bunch of other parents to pool together, and they actually bought a short bus for the church. And my mom got a CDL and drove around and picked up all the kids from the neighborhood to bring them to youth group. And so that's kind of what my life was like. My house was always full of kids, and that was a part of it. And I remember when I was about five, we lived in a house in Bellevue, and I came upstairs. It was Christmas Eve, and one night I couldn't sleep, obviously. I mean, you can imagine why I couldn't sleep on Christmas Eve. All right, so I went upstairs to go get a drink of water, and there my parents were wrapping presents, all right? And because the kids have headphones, I'll tell you the full story, okay? At that moment, I was beside myself. I'm like, what happened? Why are you wrapping presents, and where's Santa, and what's going on here? And so I kind of had this, you know, confrontation with my parents in that moment. And I was like, that's it. I want to know the real story. What's going on? Is Santa real or not? What's the story? And so they told me what the story of Christmas was and who we were celebrating. And to be honest, up to that point, I didn't know that much. I mean, I knew Jesus was a part of it, but I was pretty caught up with the presents at five. I mean, you can probably forgive me for that. So they shared with me the gospel of Jesus. They told me that Jesus, the Son of God, came to earth and lived this sinless life and died on the cross for my sins and for the sins of the world, and that if I would surrender my life to him and ask for that free gift of forgiveness, that I could be with him in eternity and I could have right relationship with God. And I got to be honest, in that moment, I was terrified of the idea of being separated from God in hell. And that was very real to me as a child. I was really scared, and my parents explained to me that faith in Jesus was more than that, but primarily that was the motivator for me. I was like, I don't want to go there. That sounds terrible. And so I made a decision at age five to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And to be honest, I look back, and that is pretty much the earliest memory that I have, and I can remember it very clearly even at a young age. But what When I learned about baptism, and my parents actually encouraged me to wait. And one of the things they said to me was, we want you to be in a place in your life where you fully understand the decision that you've made to follow Jesus Christ. So much so that if we walked away from our faith, you would still have a faith in Jesus Christ if that's something you want and you want to choose. And I remember that, and that stuck with me, and it wasn't until I was about 12 years old, I was attending a church. It was a Baptist church in Bellevue, and so surely they baptized right. And so I was 12, and I was really involved in the youth group, and my faith was my own. Absolutely, my faith was my own. And I had made a decision to follow Jesus Christ, and I'd held it for those 7 years and had a relationship with Jesus and was practicing disciplines in my own life. And it's at that point I told my parents, hey, I want to be baptized. And so in front of my church family, in front of my family and friends, and I had aunts and uncles and everybody come and be a part of that big celebration, I was baptized at age 12. And I remember that as well. I have pictures of it, and my aunt, probably about 9 months ago, just called to remind me of the specific date. She wrote it down in her Bible. And it was this big occasion that we got to celebrate. And baptism is one of those things that, for the Christian, it's a symbol of a decision that we've already made. Right? I had made that decision when I was only 5 years old, and now here at 12, I was being obedient with the command that Jesus had already given me to be baptized. By the way, I forgot the clicker, so you can just go through the slides at whatever rate seems appropriate to you. Look, there's Christmas. I want to share with you a couple stories this morning as we celebrate. Last week, we talked about some of the practical things about baptism, but this morning, I want to celebrate with you by sharing stories of baptism. You've heard of mine, which is pretty plain and pretty vanilla, but it's an important part of my story, an important part of my faith with Jesus Christ. But I want to share with you a story from the Bible, and this story is from Acts chapter 8. And so if you have your Bible, go ahead and open up to Acts chapter 8. You can find that in the New Testament, which is roughly the second half of your Bible, and it's going to be pretty early on in that. So Acts chapter 8, thank you, Susan. We're going to start in verse 26. And this story is an amazing story about Philip the disciple. And he encounters this Ethiopian eunuch who is basically the treasurer for the queen of Ethiopia. So this is a pretty high-ranking official if they're commanding all the treasure. And they kind of have this interesting encounter, which leads to this Ethiopian being baptized. And I want to share that with you. All right, Acts chapter 8, starting in verse 26. It says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Rise and go towards the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place.' And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all of her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship, and he was returning seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go over and join this chariot.' So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, 'Do you understand what you're reading?' And he said, 'How can I, unless someone guides me?' And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of scripture that he was reading was this: 'Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth.' And the eunuch said to Philip, 'About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?' Then Philip opened his mouth and began with the scripture. He told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?' And he commanded the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing." What an amazing story. I love this story for a number of reasons. First, talk about a divine appointment, all right? So the Holy Spirit is talking to Philip and says, "Hey, you're going to go to this specific place, this hot place, and you're going to run into somebody." And then he's there and he sees his chariot coming along, and the Spirit says, "Hey, there's the guy that I was telling you to go meet." And so he walks over, and he happens to be reading the Bible, right? He's reading the Old Testament from the prophet Isaiah. Talk about a setup. And then he reads this prophecy about Jesus, right? And then he asks the question, which is probably the best gospel presentation setup ever. He says, who is this person? Who is this talking about? What is this prophecy about? And so Philip goes, well, let me tell you. There was this guy who lived only just a couple, you know, this is right after, all right? This is Acts. He just lived. He actually just died. The Messiah that this passage is talking about, I knew him. I followed him for years, and I watched him be crucified. Talking about amazing setup. And so immediately, this Ethiopian eunuch understands, and he receives the gospel. He makes a decision, and I love the question that he asks, right? His immediate response is, see, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? That's his first response, right? Which is the response of us as followers of Christ. This is the first command of Jesus, to be baptized. What prevents us from being baptized? That's his first response, the first step of obedience. Beth made an interesting point this morning as she was sharing in worship that the great part about baptism is when we accept Christ, we have this lifetime of becoming like Christ. Right, this lifetime of process of growing and being sanctified to be like Jesus Christ, and much of it is difficult, right? And it's this walk and this journey with God, but baptism is simple. It's a simple step of obedience, and it's the first thing we do. It's the first step. But I think sometimes there are barriers for us. We get to the point where there are barriers when it comes to being baptized. Maybe one barrier is like me. The barrier was, I wanted to make sure, and my parents wanted to make sure, I fully understood the decision that I made, right? A prerequisite of baptism is you have a faith in Jesus Christ. You know who he is and what he is. I want to invite Russ and Susan Madera to share their stories of baptism. And as they're sharing, I want you to think about the question, what prevents me from being baptized? If you're in that position, you haven't been baptized, be thinking through that. Coming up, guys.
All right, so my story started, it happened during the first 50 years of my life, so a while ago. Any time during the first 50 years of my life, if you asked if I had been baptized, I would have said, oh, yeah, because I was actually very proud that I was baptized. If you're not familiar, I was baptized as an infant. I was raised in an Episcopal church, and baptism, when an infant baptism, it is quite an event, actually. The baby gets to wear a beautiful white gown. I don't actually remember it, but I was beautiful. Your parents are there, so my father was there, which is one of probably a handful of times he was ever in church, so that was special to me. Your parents choose people to stand with you and to promise to love you and raise you and take care of you if anything ever happens to your parents, and to ensure that you are always in a Christian environment. Those are called godparents. What child wouldn't want to have godparents? I had two godmothers and a godfather, and I thought that was the coolest thing ever. So anytime during my first 50 years of life, I would have said, yes, I was baptized, and it was a very special event. And it was very special to me. My godparents stayed connected to me through most of my life. They've passed away since, but they were very special to me. But as God has it, I think BJ was mentioning, we start to develop and we start to grow, and I started to study the Bible more, and I started realizing there were a lot of things that we do in church that are very hard to tie to Scripture, but that's how we've always done it. So I started kind of questioning some things as I got older, and one of the things was baptism. But I found if any other Christian asked me about my baptism, I was almost defensive, because I didn't want that special event in my life to be disqualified or to be lesser, because it was important to me. My parents had done it for me. You guys know me. So I was defensive, and I was like, okay, why am I so defensive? And so I had to really work through that for a while. And so about 5 years ago, though, I had gotten to the point where I had studied Scripture enough And I could not find anywhere where Jesus dunked a poor little baby or, you know, sprinkled a baby or, you know, it just wasn't there. I couldn't stand up for what I was defending so vehemently. My defense was purely what my parents had done for me. It wasn't what God was calling. And when I look back on the first 50 years of my life, I would have told you, yes, Jesus was my Savior. But would I have truly said Jesus was my Lord? I was starting to question that in my own mind. And so I felt I had to take that step of obedience and be baptized. And that's what I did. And that was my first step in proclaiming that Jesus is my Savior, but he is also my Lord, and he will direct my ways. And so I've been baptized now multiple times.
Isn't she beautiful? I was not raised in a church home or Christian home. I was raised by poodles. And when it came time for us to, I don't know what to say now, is dedicate Mike rather than baptize. When we were getting ready to baptize Mike, right after he was born, shortly after he was born, I started to think to myself, wait a minute, am I baptized? And I actually couldn't get an answer. that no one was sure whether I was baptized or not. So that kind of hung on me a little bit, but it didn't really occur to me how meaningful baptism is, and how extraordinary it is until later. I did get baptized with Mike, honestly, it was a great day. Mike baptized and everything, but it didn't feel meaningful. I didn't understand the significance of it. It felt sort of like just one of those things that you do, you know. And it wasn't until we came here and really got to know what it meant to be baptized, and that it was a signal of being all in, you know, and a declaration to the world and to God and Jesus, that you're all in. You got me doing it. So I got baptized in the river, and on my right side is this gentleman right here. And I will never forget it. I don't even know how to describe it. It was so meaningful to me. I felt, after being baptized, I felt 20 years younger. I felt 20 pounds lighter. I felt like the world had been lifted from my shoulders. I know that it's not a mystical thing, but for me it was just pure joy. I just wanted to proclaim to the world, and having done so, I felt new. And I recommend it for everybody. You know.
Thank you so much for sharing, guys. I love just hearing the different stories of baptism. I want to share another story, and this is from Wes and Judy Robbie in the Philippines. So Wes and Judy Robbie were members here, and they felt called to start a mission organization in the Philippines, going and serving those up in the mountain that have never even heard the name of Jesus. And so they go and they work with children and those in need of medical help, and find resources, and they've already planted 3 churches in response to that, and hundreds of people are coming to Christ through that ministry that they have going on. But a few months ago in service, we shared a story from Fruit Bearers about a house that Wes and his team visited. They went up in the mountains, and they found this man, and his wife was there, and she was so mentally ill that they actually tied her to the floor. And they did this because they didn't know how else to stop her from hurting herself or hurting other people. And the house they were in was in such despair and disrepair that Wes and the other workers were just immediately overcome with emotion. And a couple months ago, I shared with you here that story and with a request to actually help raise support to go. And if you give to the regular offering, a portion of that goes to Fruit Bearers. But we did an additional offering specifically for this family. And I'm excited to say, since then, Fruit Bearers has gone back and they've built a home and they built a place for this woman. But even more has happened. Every time Wes and his team goes to a person or they meet them, the people are obviously, they're grateful and they say, thank you so much for coming. And their first response is, you know, Jesus sent us and it's him you should praise. And so they are immediately moved by this and by this gesture that Fruit Bearers had done. And so they said, well, who is this Jesus? And so Wes said, well, why don't we start a Bible study and we can tell you about Jesus? And so they started a Bible study actually in their home and in their region, and dozens of people began to come, so moved by the transformations that were taking place in the community. They did a VBS, a Vacation Bible School for the kids shortly after that, and they had dozens and dozens of kids come and be a part of that Vacation Bible School, and this group grew, and then something truly amazing happened. This woman, who had been so mentally ill and struggling that she was literally tied to the floor, something incredible happened. She accepted Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. And since then, they've been back. And equally moved by tears, they sat face to face with this woman in a chair, and she wasn't shaking, and she wasn't tied to anything, and she could have perfect dialogue and complete healing and restoration. Jesus totally set her free from this bondage. She accepted Christ. Her family, her husband accepted Christ. The community has accepted Christ at an overwhelming rate. And now Fruit Bearers has planted the fourth church just out of response from all of this. So now, months later, this very woman that we got to be a part of her story, her and 27 other people in this community wanted to be baptized. And so what happened was, they're way up in the mountains. It was difficult for Wes to even get there. They're riding on the back of motorcycles to get to this place. And so they reached out to the mayor, and the mayor agreed to send them a dump truck to haul all of these people. And so here they are in the back of the dump truck, all riding down to go be baptized. The only water that they had up in the mountains was a place where the carabao, which is like a water buffalo, would wallow in, not the ideal place to be baptized. You know, we complain about the river. That was obviously worse. So they picked them up and drove them down, and they found kind of a watering hole and place to be baptized. It looks gorgeous, actually. And so this is the pastor that's been planted in that community to minister, and he's telling them all about baptism and praying for them. And they had so many people that were being baptized, they actually have four pastors that were going through and baptizing them just in this line, in succession of people. And then right here, this is Wes Robbie. This is the missionary from Adventure that got to be there, and this is the husband of that woman that's being baptized. And they got to be a part of it. And so first, I want to say thank you to you. Thank you for being a part of what God is doing there. Four churches planted, people being baptized. What an amazing story that we get to be a part of. And this is taking place because of your generosity and because of your prayers and support of these children and family. And it blows me away, and it makes me think about this question: what prevents me from being baptized? You know, maybe your story is like mine, and you were waiting to be baptized because you wanted to understand. You wanted to be at a point where you knew your faith was your own. If that's you, what's preventing you at this point? All right, or maybe your story was like Susan's, and you had this experience of infant baptism, and you don't want that meaningful experience to be dishonored in any way. It's not. Those that were baptized by John were again baptized by the disciples, as I explained last week, and it's representative of a decision that you've made. So if that's preventing you, my encouragement to you would be, take a step and be baptized, right? Or maybe, like you, maybe the thing preventing you is you don't know what a relationship with Jesus Christ looks like. Maybe you're like some of these that were in the Philippines, and that's the first step that you could take. So I want to share with you some videos of those being baptized, but I want to end kind of with this thought, and the thought is this. Whatever is preventing you from being baptized, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, what is it? What are the barriers? Would you take a step of faith and move forward? If you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, would you come talk to me after? Because that doesn't need to prevent you any longer. You can have a relationship with Jesus Christ today that's available to you, and we can take the next step of baptism together. I'm excited to share with you these stories. Nick has done a lot of work, and it's all Nick. He deserves the credit for it, putting together these videos, sharing the stories of those that are going to be baptized. And again, I want to encourage you, come back after and celebrate with us if you're able to. At the 11 o'clock service. Let's go ahead and roll those videos, and then I'll close.
I asked him in when I was a little kid, about toddler, like 3 or so, and I thought I would rather turn to the light than the other option. I prayed to God that I want him to help me and to be with me for my life, and I wanted him to help me. Baptism is a sign that you want to be with God and you want to be with him for the rest of your life. And when you die, you want to be with him in heaven. I want to be baptized in church because I want people to know that I belong to God and so that we can celebrate about it.
Well, you might ask, before that, I'm sitting here as a 73-year-old person. My name is Bill Combs, and you might want to know why a retired Presbyterian minister who has baptized dozens, if not hundreds, of people. The last time I participated in a baptismal service was in a river in Argentina. Why in the world would I be coming for baptism? Well, I was raised a Catholic, and I was baptized as an infant. And I, all the way through of my Christian life, no one ever really stood up and said, why don't you get baptized? Because I always looked back at my infant baptism and said, that's enough. It's not a requirement to be a Christian, but it's a witness. And so that's why I'm here. As a young child, I had gone, see, we were raised in Alaska on a farm in the Matanuska Valley in a little town called Wasilla with 108 people counting dogs and chickens, okay? There's a lot of ministry went on through Alaska by the Presbyterian Church all the way up, and there was a Presbyterian Church in Wasilla. Now, my dad was working at a grocery store, and he brought me in to get a pair of shoes. Well, how long does it take to get a pair of shoes? And he was working there all day, of course. I couldn't walk home because it was 8 miles. So this was happened to be during a morning Bible school. So some of the kids came in and said, why don't you come with us? Well, I sat down, and I don't remember a thing except it was a story about Joseph and the coat of many colors. But the only thing I remember was the incredible peace that I felt there. And so after I I went back home. I couldn't come back the next because that wasn't going to be that way. But afterwards, when we started going to the Catholic Church, that peace wasn't there. It wasn't because of the Catholic Church. It was because I didn't have a relationship with this person whom I'm worshiping. And that continued on through my high school and college days until my senior year when Bill Bright of Campus Crusade came to our college. And of course, he shared with us, and I was the only person that came forward. Right. But then I said, you know, I said, Bill, I really identify with what you're saying, but I've got to go. Let me go to confession and get cleaned up first. He says, that really won't be necessary. So we went into a little practice room on the third floor at Alaska Methodist University. I knelt down and gave my heart to Christ. When Jesus came to John in the Jordan River, and John saw him coming, he says, no way. No way, I'm not worthy to take your shoes off, right? Jesus said what? No, let's do that now because it's the right thing to do. Why? Because he's our model. You see, in his baptism, he models the death and resurrection through his baptism. And in him, we are baptized into his death, Paul says, and also into his resurrected life. That's what baptism is, and that's why I'm here.
It shows you other people that you are a believer in God, and you trust in him, and you'll give your life for him. Well, I became a believer in God when I was 3, and I wanted to become a believer in God, and I asked my mom how to be a believer in God. And then me and mom went through a lot of things, and then me and my mom were praying. And then I asked God if I could be a believer in him. I want to be baptized because I want to show that I believe in God, and I want to be baptized so that I can show that I'm a believer of God.
I want to invite you again, come join us if you're able to. Super excited to celebrate with you, with them. It's a big day, and a day to celebrate that God's name is being honored and glorified. And so would you pray with me, and then let's close our time with worship together. If you want to make a decision to be baptized or want more information, fill out a connection card. You can put it in the box in the back or come talk to me. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you so much for all that you've done for us. I thank you, Lord, for coming and dying on the cross and raising again so that we might have freedom from death, freedom from sin, and right relationship with you. God, I thank you that we get to be a part of your amazing family, that we get to be with you for eternity and not separated from you. Just I pray that you would help us to understand the significance and celebrate today with our brothers and sister in Christ that are being baptized for your glory. God, I thank you for the great honor and the celebration as a church family. One of the greatest celebrations any church family gets to be a part of is celebrating you, is glorifying you for more people coming and surrendering their life to you. God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this great celebration. We worship you right now with our voices. We sing to you with pride and celebration that you are our Lord, you are our King. Thank you, Jesus. In your name, amen.